What's up, world? I'm Cameron McKinney, and this is Pop Culture Spotlight, a podcast about the movie Driveaway Dolls. Here's a quick synopsis. Two friends, Marion and Jamie, take a trip to Tallahassee only to realize they are being chased for having wanted cargo. The film stars Margaret Qualley, Geraldine Viswanathan, Beanie Feldstein, Coleman Domingo, Bill Camp, C.J. Wilson, Joey Slotnick, and Matt Damon. Standout performances. Whether or not you really like this movie, Driveaway Dolls, comes down to one performance. And that performance comes from Margaret Qualley, who in my opinion has a fun accent that many clearly find annoying in the film. Qualley plays Jamie, a wild and loose character, and here's what I'll say. If one of your favorite movies of Ethan Coen's filmography is Raising Arizona, which has similar cartoonish performances from Nicolas Cage and Holly Hunter, Qualley brings similar zany energy to Driveaway Dolls, and I'm here for it. I've talked about this a lot on this podcast. Accents rarely bother me, especially when it's someone who I believe is a movie star, like George Clooney in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? That's a zany, fun accent. I love that movie, and I love Margaret Qualley in Driveaway Dolls. Qualley's next film projects includes Kinds of Kindness with Emma Stone, Jesse Plemons, and Hunter Schafer from Yorgos Lanthimos, The Substance with Demi Moore and Dennis Quaid, and Honey Don't with Aubrey Plaza and Chris Evans that will see her re-team with Driveaway Dolls director Ethan Coen. Qualley's co-star in Driveaway Dolls, Geraldine Viswanathan, for my money, has become one of the best comedic actresses. I first saw her on the TBS comedy Miracle Workers, where she plays a different character every season. Her and Daniel Radcliffe have great chemistry on the show. Her film career includes 2018's Blockers, 2019's Bad Education, 2020's The Broken Hearts Gallery, and 2021's 7 Days. She's one of those rare performers who seemingly has chemistry with all of her co-stars, and boy does she have chemistry with Qualley in Driveaway Dolls. In the film, she plays Marion, who hasn't gotten over a breakup that happened years ago. Really, the number one reason I wanted to see this movie is because it stars Margaret Qualley and Geraldine Viswanathan, and those two had really good chemistry, and they also had a yin and yang. I mean, Ethan Coen really used their strengths as performers. Qualley went a little over the top, and Viswanathan was well-composed, but still really funny. Viswanathan will next star in the movies You're Cordially Invited with Will Ferrell, Reese Witherspoon, and Jimmy Tatro, and the Marvel film Thunderbolts with Florence Pugh, Sebastian Stan, Lewis Pullman, David Harbour, and Rachel Weisz, and I don't know what to think of that movie. Steven Yeun and Ayo Edebiri dropped out of it, and Marvel films have not been very good lately, which is an understatement to say out loud. I want Viswanathan to become a big name actress. I just don't feel like appearing in a Marvel movie right now is the way to go. Driveaway Dolls is a reminder of how funny Beanie Feldstein is. Her resume includes Lady Bird and Booksmart, two of the best recent comedies. In Driveaway Dolls, she plays Suki, a cop who breaks up with Qualley's Jamie. Let's talk about the director of Driveaway Dolls, Ethan Coen. This is his first directorial effort without his brother Joel, and the consensus appears to be that Ethan is the fun Coen brother, and it feels like people are retroactively giving him credit for their more comedic films like Raising Arizona, Fargo, The Big Lebowski, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, Burn After Reading, and Hail Caesar. And part of this is because Joel's super dramatic tragedy in Macbeth, which is humorless. And I think the obvious comp to Driveaway Dolls is Raising Arizona, again because of the crazy accents and the eccentric characters. But I was also thinking about Fargo, because Fargo, like Driveaway Dolls, has two criminals played by Steve Buscemi and Steven Strohmayer who don't get along. And that same dynamic is in Driveaway Dolls. This time, the criminals are played by C.J. Wilson and Joey Slotnick. I also just wanted on record that I believe Steve Buscemi gives the best overall performance in the movie Fargo, and that should have been his Oscar movie. Like, he should have won the Oscar for Fargo. That's how good Steve Buscemi is in that movie. Also, last week I rewatched The Big Lebowski, and how does Jeff Bridges and John Goodman not have Oscars for that film? That is two of the all-time comedic performances. There are many out there that didn't like Joel's Lady Macbeth and now don't like Ethan's Drive Away Dolls. And if you're desperate to see the Coen brothers reunite, it appears they will work together again on an upcoming horror film. I'm going to be honest, the only thing I missed from this movie was the recurring collaborators of the Coen brothers. Like, I would have loved to see John Turturro in a role in Drive Away Dolls. I would have loved to see John Goodman. I would have loved to see Steve Buscemi. That's what I miss. When the Coen brothers work together, they use a lot of the same actors, and Ethan, other than Matt Damon, didn't use an actor he's worked with before. I also just think the media loves hyping up the story of the Coen brothers breaking up. I mean, these are two guys in their 60s. Maybe they just want to do their own thing. It's now happening with the Safdie brothers. The Safdies directed Uncut Gems. They directed Good Time. Now it seems like Benny Safdie wants to do his own thing. Josh wants to do his own thing. Getting back to the Coens, the amazing thing is that they were together for decades making some of the best movies of all time. That is the rarity of the Coen brothers. Remember the Duplass brothers? A lot of you don't, because they made really good movies and then they broke up early. The magic of the Coens is how long they stayed together. We don't need to focus on the breakup. We need to look back at the great movies like No Country for Old Men, like Fargo, like The Big Lebowski, like Barton Fink, like Raising Arizona. I love Inside Llewyn Davis and I love Hail Caesar, but their last movie, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, is not better than Drive Away Dolls. So I'm not really a believer in that these brothers need to reunite to make a good movie. The Lady Macbeth was a fine movie. Drive Away Dolls is a really good, funny film. I would like to see the Coen brothers reunite because I think that they would make a masterpiece, but I'm fine with the movies they are making. I don't need to obsess over the Coen brothers reuniting like most of the internet seemingly does. Box office. Let's talk about how Drive Away Dolls has done at the box office. It hasn't done very well. Now, when you think of the Coen brothers in the past, some of their movies have not fared well at the box office. The Hudsucker Proxy was supposed to be one of their biggest movies at the time. It was their most expensive movie. It did not do very well at the box office, but it was a high concept film. On paper, Drive Away Dolls is a movie that would have worked in, say, 2010. This movie would have made $50 million. Now I feel like what's happening to this movie is people look at it and go, there's nothing here that makes me want to go and drive to the movie theaters. This is a movie that I could watch on a streaming service. Drive Away Dolls, for all intents and purposes, appears to be a movie that people will wait and see until it's on Amazon, until it's on Hulu, until it's on Netflix, until it's on you name it. And I think there are a number of reasons as to why that is, and the number one reason I feel like is the lack of star power. I believe in Margaret Qualley being a future movie star. I believe in Geraldine Viswanathan being a future movie star. But at this moment in time, they are not that. And some of the Coens' most successful movies have massive movie stars. George Clooney has starred in a number of their films. Jeff Bridges has starred in two of their best movies at the box office. Their best movies at the box office, anyways, have been the ones that have big stars. I also think, sadly, there are people out there hesitant to see a lesbian comedy. Booksmart had that same issue. Booksmart was getting some of the best reviews of the year, but still not enough people saw the movie Booksmart in theaters. There's still that bias that's uncomfortable. Let's talk about the reviews. That I find more interesting. The reviews have been mixed, and part of that has to be the fact that are people are comparing this to the past films of the Coen brothers. And Steven Spielberg has talked about this, how every movie he makes is compared to his classics like Jaws and Close Encounters of the First Kind. Now, on paper, that makes sense because it's the same guy making the movies. But is it fair to critique a director based on his all-time classic films? I think the answer to that is no. I think it's okay if there's a movie in there that's just okay. And for the record, I believe Drive Away Dolls is more than just okay. But if I'm rating it against Inside Llewyn Davis, then it's not up there. And I don't think we should be doing that. I'm rating Drive Away Dolls as a comedy. And I feel like most comedies out there nowadays are not very funny and they're not making the right jokes. Drive Away Dolls does not have that problem. It's one of the funniest movies I've seen recently. There are fans of the Coen brothers who look at their films for deeper meaning, like they watch The Big Lebowski over and over again, trying to figure out what it means. The same with Barton Fink. Like, those are movies you watch and you're like, what is this movie saying? Drive Away Dolls isn't one of those movies. It's sleek, it's a lot of fun, it's a good time. That's all the movie is trying to be, and I feel like that's what people are struggling with this movie. They're looking for that deeper meaning instead of just a good time, which is what I think the movie is. It's just a good time. My major critique of the movie would be the start of it. Like, I feel like this movie struggles to find its footing, and then by the end, you're really like, wow, this movie really works, but you have to be patient with it. Like, I feel like this isn't a movie that just gets going right away. It's a movie that kind of struggles at the beginning of it. Like I said earlier, Ethan Coen already has another movie in place. He's going to make Honey Don't with Qualley again, and this time with Aubrey Plaza and Chris Evans. And I feel like that's a movie that sounds like it's going to fare better at the box office because it has that star power. Captain America and Aubrey Plaza. And I think the pair of Ethan Coen and Aubrey Plaza is going to be off the charts funny. Like, she is one of the best comedic actresses of our time. Ethan Coen has been the co-writer of some of the funniest movies of our time. I also can't wait to see Chris Evans in an outright comedy again. This is the guy that most people saw for the first time in Not Another Teen Movie. I want to talk about the movie's runtime because I think it's something that makes Drive Away Dolls feel like an old school comedy. I mean, this movie is 90 minutes in and out. And weirdly, I feel like that was the strength of the movie and also the weakness of the movie, because I talked about that weak beginning of the film. Well, when you only have a 90-minute movie and the first 20 minutes aren't super strong, people aren't going to think very highly of you. But then that final, let's say, 40 minutes is on fire, and you're like, this is a really good comedy. And old school comedies used to be 90 minutes. All Woody Allen films used to be 90 minutes. And it's the fantasy movies, it's the superhero movies, it's the sci-fis that made every film over 2 hours. It's Martin Scorsese with his epic dramas that makes those films 3 hours. It's the Lord of the Rings movies that became over 3 hours long. Fargo and Raising Arizona were 90-minute long movies, and I feel like what Ethan Coen understands about those films is that you need to establish a tone right away. Fargo has a distinct tone that you're just right into, and you understand every character in that film. It's not about character development, it's about a tone. It's the same with Raising Arizona. Nicolas Cage, Holly Hunter, and John Goodman all feel like they are in the same movie, and Drive Away Dolls really does have that. Now, you can argue about that when it comes to Margaret Qualley and Geraldine Viswanathan, because they are giving very distinct performances, but I do feel like at the end of the day, they feel like they are in the same movie tone-wise. Before recording this podcast, I re-watched Raising Arizona, and Holly Hunter is so good in that movie. And then I looked back at her 1987. In 1987, Holly Hunter starred in not only Raising Arizona, but also Broadcast News. Has an actress ever had a year as good as that? It's hard to argue there has been a better year by any performer for that matter. Think about that. Broadcast News and Raising Arizona. Those are two movies that a lot of people put on their top 50 films of all time, and some people would put both in their top 25. And she's just not in those movies. She's phenomenal in those movies. And looking back at that film, it's crazy that Nicolas Cage only worked with the Coens one time, because it's, in my opinion, his best performance. It's right up there with Adaptation. Those are the two Nicolas Cage performances that I put in the pantheon. And for him to only work with them once, I would have loved to see Nicolas Cage pop up in their movies for the last 25 years, but sadly, it didn't happen. Getting back to Drive Away Dolls, there is something that I found a little annoying with the movie, and it's that it has big time actors in bit parts, and the two that I'm thinking about are Pedro Pascal and Matt Damon. Pedro Pascal has become one of the most famous actors because he's appeared in The Last of Us, he's appeared in The Mandalorian, he is the face of two of the biggest shows on television right now, and when he was announced that he was going to be in this movie, I was super pumped. Pedro Pascal, I'm not going to reveal his part, is barely in this movie, and the same goes for Matt Damon, who worked with Ethan Coen on True Grit. Now, Matt Damon is notorious for showing up in movies in bit parts, Saving Private Ryan, Interstellar, you can go on, the list goes on. We are used to Matt Damon doing this, but I believe this movie used Pedro Pascal to gain people's interest. And it didn't really work, but I'm kind of glad it didn't work, because Pedro Pascal is not really in this movie. And I kind of thought somebody like Ethan Coen would be above using stars and small parts to get people interested, but I guess I'm wrong. I mean, that feels like the Ryan Reynoldsization of movies, where in his films, cameos like Hugh Jackman and Channing Tatum show up, and you're like, this movie doesn't really need that whatsoever. I do want to mention that Ethan Coen co-wrote this movie with his wife, Trisha Cook, who worked as an editor with the Coens in the past. And that is the one thing that I find a little interesting about the Coen brothers breaking up, is who they are working with. So on The Tragedy of Macbeth, Joel made a movie with his wife, Frances McDormand, and now with Drive Away Dolls, Ethan is making a movie with his wife. I think it's proof that the two of them still want to collaborate with others. It's not like the two of them went off to make solo movies where they were the writer, directors, editors, and cinematographers. No, they are still working with key collaborators. I believe that the struggle for both of them is that their popularity was in the fact that they were a duo. That's the mystique around them. All the time we're asking questions like, how do you co-write movies together? How do you collaborate? That's what was what people found so fascinating about the Coen brothers, is that they didn't understand how these two guys came to collaborate on some of the best movies of all time. I believe Drive Away Dolls would have been a bigger financial success if it was written and directed by Ethan and Joel Coen. And I feel the exact same way about The Tragedy of Macbeth. Yes, that movie got nominated for some Oscars, whatever, but more people would have talked about it if it were made by the Coen brothers and not just one Coen. Overall, what I personally liked about Drive Away Dolls is that it feels closer to the Coen brothers' earlier work than some of their recent films. Like, again, I love Inside Llewyn Davis. I love Hail Caesar. But Drive Away Dolls really does feel like a cousin to Raising Arizona and Fargo. I think the one outlier with their comedies is The Big Lebowski. Like, there's no movie you can compare that to. There's never going to be another The Big Lebowski. With Raising Arizona, I do feel like Drive Away Dolls has some of that similar tone, and it's all with the Margaret Qualley character. Like, you could just put her in Raising Arizona, and it would make sense. Overall, I, like a lot of people, think it would be cool if Ethan Coen reunites with his brother and makes another masterpiece like No Country for Old Men, but I believe Drive Away Dolls proves Ethan can make a solid movie without his brother's involvement, and I'm really excited for his next film, Honey Don't. And maybe it's just me, I just feel like the two Coens have made so many movies together that you can just go back and revisit their classics instead of wanting another film from the two of them. We're probably going to get another film from the two of them. But if you want to watch the Coens, just go back and watch Raising Arizona, rewatch Fargo, rewatch True Grit, No Country for Old Men, and Inside Llewyn Davis. There's more than enough Coen Brothers films to enjoy. And while you're at it, you should watch Drive Away Dolls. Thanks for listening to this edition of Pop Culture Spotlight. I'm Cameron McKinney, and there'll be a new episode of the podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I highly, highly recommend you check out the film Drive Away Dolls. Next week on the podcast, I'm talking about Dune Part 2, starring Timothée Chalamet, Austin Butler, Zendaya, and Florence Pugh, written and directed by Denis Villeneuve. So tune into that, and please rate, review, and subscribe.